This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
What up, High Fivers? Yep, it's your boy High Five Tom, and I've got my very good friend here on the other side of the, on the East Coast. Contrary to his name, my very good friend and Oakland nominated podcast host. We didn't actually bring that up when the people that do the Oakland Wars were both on. I forgot to mention it. Now I feel like an asshole. But Mr. Wheeler, Utah. Mr. Utah, how are you this evening?
Oh, you know, been all right, Tom. I can't wait to see if my very distant relative, Wheeler, if how he fared against Kenny Omega tonight.
Ooh, Wheeler and Kenny Omega tonight, huh?
Yeah, I serious people are like, they're giving this away for free. It's like, it's Wheeler Utah. I don't get it, but you know, I'm wearing the Matt Taven shirt. You know, there was a while when I first started watching Ring of Honor, I didn't get the appeal of Matt Taven. And then, you know, when I wasn't watching, then I find out that he, like, blew up and became, like, the guy. It's like, well, shit, maybe there's something there that I didn't see because I wasn't watching. So maybe, you know, maybe I just need more exposure to Wheeler Utah. Because I was intrigued, like, when I saw him in the Pure Tournament, because that was the first time I had seen him. And I just don't feel like it's gone up from there. I feel like it's kind of been like, oh, I haven't really seen anything more to be, like, gung-ho on this kid.
Yeah, and I liked Wheeler Yuta before he signed with AEW. He was in the Ring of Honor, that Dojo Pro thing they did a couple years ago, which Jeff Cobb won. And then he came in and dominated the aforementioned Money in the Bank winner, Punishment Martinez, for the TV title. That's when Jeff Cobb came in and they were having their top prospect tournament and just came up and that's going to be a great TV, Will. He just came up and beat everybody up and then he had the tournament just named him the top prospect. Awesome. You know, so. Yeah, I don't know if he was in Battle of Los Angeles. Was he the G1 last year or was he in the...
He was in Super Juniors, and he did not have a great...
Okay, I was Super Juniors, so... No,
because he was a pure champion when he was in the Super Juniors.
Okay, yeah, because I literally just started that 2022 as I go into my New Japan Rewind, so... have you watched any of this Independence Day stuff yet from New Japan?
Nope, because I don't have a New Japan World account anymore. Not since... Waddle Mania ran mild on Super Juniors this year.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, it is, you know, it is.
You know, maybe I pick it up again for when wrestling rolls around. I can watch Wrestle Kingdom, but Eddie Kingston.
What's that?
Eddie Kingston got strapped.
Yeah. Yeah. And, my girl Julia is making some noise, so we'll just say that. We'll try and keep spoilers free. But, yeah, it's been good so far. I just started day two this afternoon, so I didn't have to do jury duty. So that was nice.
You didn't have to be municipality, Tom. You could still be Milwaukee, Tom.
Yep. So that was nice. So, I could actually
speaking of making noise, did you ask Roderick Strong to chop you while you were wearing your Speedball shirt when you met him?
No! Damn it!
Because we know he chops too hard. So says Karina.
Yeah, I
would you take a chop from Roger Thrum?
Of course I would.
Have you taken a chop from a professional wrestler before?
No, not yet. I keep fucking it up.
So. I feel like Roddy's like on that deeper end of the spectrum of taking a chop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would hurt like hell. I should have taken
I will say, though, that the clip of Matt getting the chop from Dan Moff, one of the best moments in podcast history.
Yeah.
Just because it wasn't a video podcast at that point. So it's just you hear the audio of him being like, okay. You're just waiting. You're waiting. All of a sudden you hear the smack. It's like, I'm like, if I could be there, this, what a trip.
Yeah. I think the waiting would be worse than anything. So.
But tell us about your live wrestling experience, Tom. It wasn't just down the road, so.
No. So Friday night, there was – oh, shit. That reminds me. I got to email that out. I did go to a banger ICW Milwaukee show. It is one of the better shows they've had in a long time. A lot of great action. You can hear all about that on the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup. But the next day, as Will alluded to, I did drive all the way to Clive, Iowa, with my good friend Tristan, hopefully future guest on this show. And we witnessed I went to my second Pro Wrestling Revolver show, my first show in Iowa, so I got that off the list. Show was super solid. We had second row, but was highlighted by a main – well, it wasn't necessarily the main event, but Speedball Mike Bailey versus our front runner for 2013 Wrestler of the Year, Mr. Roderick Strong. And, you know, if you'd have told me 3 years ago that I'd be watching Roddy Strong versus Speedball Mike Bailey – in Iowa, I would have never believed you will. I don't know what kind of fucking time continuum this is, but it was a great fucking match. Pro Wrestling Revolver is usually pretty good about putting these out on YouTube, so when it comes out, make sure you check it out. I won't let you know what happened, but they do chop hard, and they both chop the living shit out of each other.
They, two guys, both insanely talented. You know, I mean, that's so like you don't even need to see, like, to just know. So that was great. Like, I would take that base value just based on names alone.
It delivered. It was well worth all the money, time, and effort it took to go see it. Obviously, and you know, as anyone that follows us on the Twitter, your dumbass co-host here did take a picture with Roddy Strong with a Speedball Mike Bailey T-shirt, and he was a really good sport about it. I'm actually wearing the T-shirt I bought from him, which might be my new podcast T-shirt. So this Roddy versus the world, as he is the Messiah of the Backbreaker. The match fucking delivered. It was great. It was worth every cent. So, and Roddy was super nice. I didn't think he would be out there. He was, for the longest time, he was the only one out there to sign pictures. Chatted him up a little bit. You know, I told him that we thought, of course, I forgot my fucking stickers in the hotel room. So I'm a fucking dumbass. I would have given him some stickers. And yes, Will, your stickers will be in the mail sometime soon, hopefully. So, it ruled. So, Will, did I lose you? All right. So, Will, there we go.
Pick a Bailey shirt. And we'll start trying to piece of shit. I wish I could blame it on the weather or anything. I think it's just the laptop switching to the wireless in the apartment to connecting to the coffee shop's Wi-Fi that's on the ground floor.
Oh.
So I was talking. It's like, oh, Tom's froze. And I looked at the corner. It's like, oh, it's because the laptop decided to try to connect downstairs and not, you know, 10 feet this way.
I mean, yeah, why would it do that? So, I mean.
Oh, anyway. Whatever. I didn't say anything important anyway. I hope Tom, I'm sorry you had to filibuster while I scramble to get back here.
That's okay. What are you doing, Spookus? My cat is currently killing a dryer sheet on the hardwood floor. So
you cats love those things.
She gives no fucks. That is Spookus. So, Will, how's your week?
My week is all right. It's been a busy week. I'm going on 10 days in a row at work. Tomorrow is the last day I have, and then I get a day off. And then hopefully things lighten up going forward. Just have to make, you know, adjustments with people leaving and whatnot. But it's all right. It was the 4th of July. It rained. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily a gangbusters holiday like me or maybe hoping it would be.
What's a tough one is still it's a Tuesday, too.
It is kind of a weird one, right? It's like, do people leave the weekend before? Do people work up to the Tuesday and then take the following week off? You know, you have options.
Yeah. Or you're just like two working stiffs like Will and I. Both of us worked on holidays, though. Yeah, do you get time and a half or double time or anything in that?
Time and a half on the 4th. So I had two time and a half days for this pay period. I got Sunday and I got the 4th of July.
Nice.
Big. I'm going to, you know, not to try to steal a gimmick, but I might have to be big money Mercer, you know, millionaire Mercer.
I like the millionaire Mercer gimmick, so.
Speaking of gimmicks, Tom, we got a lot of gimmicks to answer tonight.
We do. We have several questions of dishonor this week.
Whose do you want to start with?
Well, let's start off with Rob's from 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, we missed it. We should probably be better on letting people know when we record. So, Rob, that is on us 1,000%. Let's do Rob's question from last week that we missed.
So Rob, from last week, because we mentioned Chris Hero, he says, Chris Hero was on an episode of Border Security where Australian Customs checked his bags. But he wants to know which member of the 2013 roster would you trust to smuggle something into Australia? First of all, that's a very dangerous game you're playing, Rob. I don't know if you want to go down that road.
I mean, depends on what you're smuggling, you know.
It depends on what you're smuggling. I think I'd play it safe. I'm going to go with a Mark Briscoe. You know, we talked about him kind of pairing off with Bushwhackers when we talked about our dream tag team matches. So I'm going to say maybe Mark Briscoe throws on, like, you know, an Australian accent and they think he's one of the Bushwhackers. Maybe he can get through. They think he's a celebrity.
You know, there's a lot of different ways I could go with this question. But I think the one that's popping in my head is I think I would use Mike Bennett and Malik Nellis for obvious reasons. Obviously, Mike Bennett's a very handsome-looking gentleman. He looks trustworthy, and obviously Maria can be very charming in her ways. You know,
be charming, be the one to cause a scene, right? Maybe she gets like, you know, I want to talk to the manager. Maybe it's not worth the headache. It's a good answer.
You know, so, and I'm assuming they're smuggling like cheese curds for me or something like that, or maybe some spotted cow, which you can't sell outside of Wisconsin. So I'm going to go with Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis.
What is it?
I'm going to go, yeah, Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis.
No, what were you saying? The what was item? You can't sell. You said you can't sell it outside of Wisconsin?
The spotted cow beer.
Spotted cow beer. What is spotted cow beer?
It is a product of Mugleris Brewing Company. It is a very good brown ale, and it is probably one of the more famous micro beers of Wisconsin. It is pretty much a state, you know, state beer, you know, that's not shitty beer. So, whenever I fly out to New York, I do smuggle some out for our good friend and former guest, Mr. Rob Domingo, also known as Bullet Club Rob. So, yeah.
So it's illegal to sell outside of Wisconsin.
Yeah, like there's bars in like Illinois and Minnesota that will buy it and chuck it over, and when they get caught, like it's a deal. Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the outside sale of beer outside of the state. I'm curious now. I might have to Google that after and look into that.
Yeah, it is really good. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not a big quote unquote craft beer guy, but you know.
Well, a good brown ale is hard to find. There's not a lot of brown ale options.
Yeah. And I do like my Newcastle, which is completely different. But it's a brownish ale. So
I went not to get too far off track, but like my family's Christmas party, we like all pick names for like a Secret Santa kind of thing, and I got my older cousin, and I asked his wife, I'm like, well, what kind of stuff could I get? Because, I mean, he's the successful one pretty much, right? He went first one to go to college, got the job while he was still getting his degree, now owns the business that he was hired to work for. That's cool. Like, Ace is, she's like, well, he really likes brown ale. And I went to my local beer shop, and they're like, not a lot of choices. It's like, okay, I guess give me what you got.
That's funny.
That's funny. So, do we want to answer Rob's new question?
Yeah, so it's for this week. So, I have a cap on my head.
So for this week, Rob's question, because we mentioned BJ Whitmer, we'll see BJ Whitmer again. We mention him every week. Kevin Sullivan was brought into 2016 ROH as BJ Whitmer's kayfabe father. I guess spoiler alert for something that happened.
Wow.
Shit, however many years ago.
Yeah.
We'll get to it eventually.
Yeah.
We'll cover this in another 3 years. But if we had to pair a wrestling legend with a member of the 2013 roster in a father-son storyline, who are we pairing up?
Well, the first people that come to mind, even though neither are members of the Ring of Honor roster in 2013, but because this was a gimmick, but MJF and Colt Cabana and AAW were doing the whole illegitimate father-son thing. And that was before MJF was MJF, and it was fucking hilarious. And it was as good as you can imagine. But I am going to go with, now, hopefully Papa Briscoe does not hear me say this. Because I don't want Papa, you know, any heat with Papa Briscoe. I've talked to him, you know, previously for a couple seconds of my life. But I'm going to go, this seems to be a person who's a very popular person. In answers to questions on her. But I'm going to go with Mick Foley. And the aforementioned Mark Briscoe.
There's a lot of funny stuff that could come from that. There's a lot of funny stuff that could come from that.
They're both toothless. They're both, you know, they're both fucking toothballs. I'm going to go with Mick Foley and Mark Briscoe. I mean, every week we try not to pick the Briscoes for the question of dishonor, but it's tough. I mean, that one just fits.
Who would I pick?
And I don't know if they have to be dead or alive, but I really think like a ravishing Rick Rude being father and son with Matt Taven would be a lot of fun.
Right, and then truth, he's not your real dad.
Yeah.
Or maybe he is. What if we went with a Bret Hart, Kevin Steen's father?
All right. Yeah.
And then, I mean, it should. Part of this shouldn't be that hard, right? Because there, I mean, there's been however many legends, but the 2013 roster feels, it feels light. It still feels like a very light roster right now.
And hopefully that changes sometime soon, but
hopefully it changes.
And you could do Dynamite Kid and Davey Richards. That would just make sense. But I'm gonna stick with my original though, Mick Foley and Mark Briscoe.
Oh my God, that'd be better, wouldn't it? Bret Hart is Davey Richards' father. And then Bret Hart has to try to get Davey Richards over in Canada.
Oh yeah. There we go. That's another $5,000 idea.
There it is. See, it took me a bit. It took a little mental gymnastics to get there, but we got there.
Man, I mean, Tony Khan just start sending the three of us, you know, our $5,000 checks. You know, I think we're getting up there now. So, I don't know if we're ever going to top Mark Briscoe reading Shakespeare, but. Yeah. So awesome. Well, Rob, as always, make sure you do listen to on Tanking the Territory and on Booking the Territory and all the great shows. I know they are doing a BTE Gator Golf Best Of episode soon. So, yeah.
Gator Golf. Hell yeah.
Not technically members of Visionaries Global Media. I don't know why. They probably should be, but definitely VGM adjacent. Great time, great friends of the show.
I mean, it's kind of like the broadcast, right? Like the Wizards put over the broadcast, but I feel like they say the broadcast isn't technically part of the Shining Wizards network.
Well, they are now.
They are now. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I get Wizards podcast, and then I get like the Wizards podcast feed. I don't remember seeing. I also don't know how often they put out episodes either.
But. Speaking of which, that's also two guys we definitely need to get on the show one of these days soon. So, yeah, they're officially part of the network show finally. So, hey, Rob, but thanks again.
Yes, thank you, Rob. Thank you. Rob always has great questions.
Yeah, I mean, how many $5,000 checks have we gotten from Rob?
Right, Rob asked the thinking questions. Like, Rob asked the questions where we got to sweat it out a little bit.
Yeah.
But the answers. There's been some fun stuff there.
Yeah, and Rob, if you want to, after you listen to this, send us your answers, any thoughts you had, let us know. So, you know, obviously Brendan always gives us his answers. But speaking of Brendan,
do we want to go to Brendan's or do we want to answer Freed's question?
Well, let's do Freed's first.
Freed's first. That's our buddy Jez Natter. Him and our friend David Bauer did put over quite a bit on one of the last episodes there. They were talking music. My name got brought up a lot. I'm very flattered being the legend that I am. I mean, you know. Am I wearing the Matt Taven shirt, or is the Matt Taven shirt wearing me? We'll find out. But Freed wants to know if we were to, you know, we have our title. Tom and I signed up for the Catchpoint Wrestling School. We're training with Drew Gulag and Tracy Williams and Wheeler Utah, my distant cousin there.
Yeah.
And we travel back to 2013. And we're going to be on. Are we heels? Are we baby faces? Let's start with that point. Let's start with that. If you were to jump into the 2013 roster, Tom, would you want to be a baby face or would you be working heel?
Well, I would definitely be trained probably over at Black and Brave Academy, which I was just at the coffee shop for on Sunday, by the way.
I was going to say we that was a little gem in the group chat.
Yeah, awesome gem. It's in right there. Great spot. I don't know. I'd probably be a face, you know, for now. You know, it's always fun when the face turns. Ring of Honor kind of needs some faces right now, especially if Scum is running wild, so to kind of help battle Scum. And I know this is going to sound tacky, but something that always pisses me off from my childhood is I figure if the Florida Key can be a finishing move that no one ever kicks out of, I'm going to bring back the DDT as a finisher. It's straight up DDT. And no one's ever going to kick out of it.
Straight up DDT. I mean, it used to be, right? You know, back when Jake the Snake and Raven did it, was the...
Yeah.
The end.
You know, not a fancy DDT.
No.
You know, like Bobby Roode does. I do like his DDT. The one Matt Taven's been using, especially on this episode. I don't know what it's called. But, yeah, it's a literal straight-up DDT that I make so awesome that no one ever kicks out of it.
That's right. Tom's talking about hooking the head face down.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Game, set, match. So I'd have to work face, right? Because I would need people to like me. I don't know if I could be a convincing heel. Finishing move, as per free question. That's a toughie, right? Back and forth. I fancied a DDT for a long time as a finishing move. Powerbomb, you know, high impact. So it maybe takes a little more setup. But I also think when the WWE games had create the finisher, I created a variation of a running neck breaker, and I called it the drive-by for my friend's drive-by bukkake.
Nice. Okay.
But lately I've been more of a submission guy, so maybe I'll say that the tequila sunrise would be my finishing submission.
All right. What's the tequila sunrise?
Or maybe I'd go with the DDT, and we feud over the moveset.
Good. So, and
he asked if our first feud would be the truth. What if it was us? What if we feud?
All right.
I feel like I'd have to be heel at that point. I'd have to be the one that turns on you.
He's a heel, goddamn. All right.
You've got that Midwestern arm. Nobody would buy you as a bad guy.
I don't know about that, but. And I know it wasn't necessarily the question, but if we were a tag team together, Will.
We'd be a heel tag team, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm hearing you right. I got this spotty Wi-Fi. It's not as good as the spotted cow.
Hmm. I will bring you some, by the way, in April.
I wouldn't be able to drink it, so don't risk whatever legal action would come from it.
Well, I can take it, I just can't sell it.
See, so you can distribute it, you just can't profit off it.
Right. Yeah, you can take it out of the state, you just can't sell it.
Shit, like, I have a friend who lived in Singapore for a while, and she said it was like, it's so clean, that gum. You couldn't buy gum in Singapore. You can have gum shipped to you. But if you had it, like, on your person, you could have it. But gum is a big no-no. There's people sticking to shit. It's a very clean place.
This makes sense. I think Milwaukee could do something similar. Yeah, if we were a heel tag team, though, who would our first feud be with? I'd just say all Scum.
You want to take it straight to Scum? You want to?
Yeah.
You want to wrap this plot line up?
Yep.
Maybe we bump somebody else out from Team ROH, and maybe we're the hot young guns brought in to help put an end to Scum.
You know, maybe we could do like a
Steiner. So would we be heels? Are we kind of like we'll help you out, but we want something in return? Like, we're not helping out of the goodness of our hearts with $5,000?
Yeah, I mean, I think
each.
Yeah, I think for $5,000 a piece, I think we'll take it on scale. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, and then we could.
At this point, I do it for fun.
Yeah, that's probably another reason this is such a good episode when I think about it. So, all right. But yeah, obviously, thank you, Freeze. Make sure you do check out Nattering with E. And obviously, Eric is a 2-time guest on Ring of Honor, actually, 3-time guest. Thank you. On Ring of Honor Reverie. But yeah, we will get on there one of these days. I just need to get my shit together. So, well, we've got one final question of Honor, Will.
Do. Let's. Someday there'll be a more legitimate setup of me just pulling that up on my phone and playing it every week. But until then, our friend Brendan at Irish Misfit is on vacation. So he wants to know, who from the 2013 Ring of Honor roster are we taking on vacation with us? And he said that he would pick the Briscoes. He said, I have a feeling we would go hunting and camping. While I don't drink, he would love to watch them throw back a bunch and just have a great time outdoors. And you could get a feeling of that if you were to pick up Raised in Sandy Fork, the Briscoe Brothers DVD.
You know what, Will? One of us may actually have a copy of that DVD he has not watched yet, so I bought it a long time ago off of, boy, when you could buy DVDs off of our Honor Club. Huh, weird. I got a Sweet Dem Boys green t-shirt and an awesome DVD. Huh, boy. Can't go to Honor Club and buy shit anymore, though, Will.
I mean, you can. It redirects you to the Pro Wrestling Tee store.
No, I want to buy it from fucking Honor Club. And my goddamn
they Honor were good shirts, too.
What's that?
They're print to order. Sweet discounts on it. You'd be able to order it before the general public would.
Back
when it meant something to have Honor Club.
Yeah, and it'd be nice if I could just like hit resume. That button doesn't work anymore. I have to read 3 or 4 times before I can get any volume on CP, but whatever. But speaking of Eddie Kingston, like we were earlier, and Jay Briscoe, I don't know if you noticed, but Eddie was rocking that Jay Briscoe tribute on the tag match tonight. One of New Japan Wrestling, so. The obvious answer here is obviously the Briscoe, which is for most questions. But I'm going to pivot a little bit. The person I would actually really like to hang out with, Jimmy Jacobs. I bet you Jimmy Jacobs really likes to have a good time. I also used to like to have a really good time.
I can't believe you're picking a member of Scum to go on vacation with.
See, I just don't think of Jimmy Jacobs is like above Scum. Like, he transcends Scum.
Being Scum goes against science. Scum goes on the top, and you gotta like skim it off.
Yeah. So, I'm going with Jimmy Jacobs. I mean, it's either Jimmy Jacobs or Tennessee. You know, but I'm not a big fan of the Z, though, so I'm going with Jimmy Jacobs.
My mind is, if I'm going on vacation, I want a party, but I'm not looking to have a bunch of hoopla. No hoopla. I'm going to pick the professed, or what some people say he's like a rap boy. I'm going to pick Roger.
What was that?
Oh.
Oh.
Thomas, can you hear me? Hello?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Oh, I said I want to have a good time, but I don't want any hoopla, so I'm going to pick the man that Truth Martini claims is just a big frat boy. I'll pick Roger Strong. Road trip.
I can definitely see that. Actually, I did get some very good Roderick Strong stories from people other than Roderick Strong that I will tell you off air about. So, yeah, I could definitely see that being a good time.
You know, the other thing is, right, you know, hang out. If Roderick Strong were like side by side, I would make him better because I look like this. The people listening don't know what this is.
Mm.
They see the hand motion and they can't see me. But I'd be like, maybe Roddy's my wingman or something, you know? Maybe he's like, oh, have you met my buddy Will Utah?
Yeah, I could definitely see Roddy being the guy. So. All right. Well, Brendan, thank you so much for your question this week. And everybody, you know, make sure you keep sending in those questions. We appreciate them. Hopefully we answer them to everyone's satisfaction. But Will, before we did dive into this spoiler alert, fantastic episode of TV. Any other thoughts?
I didn't catch you said him. So.
Oh, do you have any other thoughts, Will?
No, only thought is just for, you know, keeping stuff easy to find and easy to keep track of. If you want to submit questions, honors, their QODs, please add it to our pinned tweet on our Twitter page. Is the most organized one making is ordered in received.
Oh, Will froze up. Basically, what Will is telling everybody that if you're going to send in your questions of dishonor, to keep them organized, send them in on our, we do have a pinned tweet on that, hashtag QOD, and we will get those answered for you. So, all right, we might have lost Will here for a second. But real quick, we are going to go over Ring of Honor TV episode 94.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday nights on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Get G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh, so you hear that?
That was perfect.
I'm going to have to invest in like a second Wi-Fi router or something to have to hook up when I'm in the other room recording. This nonsense is for the birds.
Well, wherever you're at right now is absolutely perfect. So,
I just killed the video, but it did the same thing. It tried to... This time it bounced to like three different Wi-Fis. It tried to connect to like three different ones.
That's weird.
It's, ugh. You know, maybe I should just do this on my phone. My phone works fine.
Yeah.
It would just be a little harder to get the questions of dishonor.
Well, I mean, your co-host could step in and help out with that, maybe, possibly, so. Well, Will, I did plug, I don't know if you're here, but I did plug that, you know, make sure everyone sends in their hashtag QOD to the pin tweet, and Tom will do his best not to retweet that tweet by accident, thinking he was on one of his other Twitter profiles. But, Will, we alluded earlier last week a little spoiler alert for this week's TV episode. But before we get into that, this is Ringwire TV episode 94, originally aired in July 6, 2013. But Will, our opening match was CNC Wrestling Factory versus who?
The Slop Hunters themselves, the Beaver Boys.
John
Reynolds and Johnny Silver, Johnny Hungy.
This was a very pleasant surprise. We had, mentioned earlier that Honor Cloud has not been working very well. So I can't start hit play when I hit resume. So I'd started from a couple minutes into the episode. So I was like 3 minutes in the episode and I'm like, wait a minute, is that fucking Alex Reynolds and John Silver? And it sure shit was though. So our first cliffhanger, and hopefully
that was an excellent surprise. I never know what to expect when you text me and say there's a surprise. So it's like, oh, is it actually a surprise? Is it a surprise I'm going to want? And the Beaver Boys is a surprise that I wanted.
Yep. And they look great. I did not realize they were trained by Mikey Whipwreck.
Yes.
I did have to crack up that Kevin Kelly's like, oh, Mikey Whipwreck, someone you know very well. And Steve Kramer's like, never heard of him.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny, so. And then also speaking of Steve Corino, he did mention why does CNC Russell Factory keep getting title matches and they keep losing? He's not wrong. You know, obviously we are big fans of the CNC Russell Factory here, but at this point, I did not realize that Silver and Reynolds had tagged that long. Did you know that, Will?
I did. They've been tag teaming for a while. They mentioned that it was not to, just put over other podcasts that aren't ours, but if you want to go way back in the archives of the AEW Unrestricted podcast, their interview was excellent, talking about how long they've been a team and whatnot.
Huh.
Also, that great awkward silence when Aubrey's like, so why were you guys called the Slop Hunters? And hear Johnny Hungy be like, well, it's,
Oh, Aubrey. That's all we're going
to
say.
The Slop Hunters to the Beaver Boys to the Dark Order.
You know, and honestly, I did not know much about them until they popped up in AEW. I did see John Silver a couple times in PWG, but, it was great to see. It was a pleasant surprise, and hopefully you agreed with my surprise, which obviously you did. But and I really like those CNC Russell Factory T-shirts, the whatever those are. So if someone wants to pick one up, those for me, let me know. Silver and Reynolds, they look great in here. Fun tag team work. Carino agrees that Cedric is a star, and Carino just ripping on Ring of Honor, saying they're not going to pay him, but he would. And then definitely we get a adrenaline rush, scoping off the match. And at the end, we get that Caprice head scissors into the frog splash, and CNC Russell Factory gets the win. But as always, Cedric's got one pretty ass frog splash. But this match is a lot of fun. Obviously, we are big fans of Reynolds and Silver on this podcast, if you didn't know that. But Will, do you have any other thoughts?
No, tons. It's kind of a bummer. It's great when you watch a wrestling show, you have the team that's there all the time. You've got the team that's kind of brought in to work a match. So, there's no expectations of Silver and Reynolds coming out with a win.
Yeah.
But still, excellent match, fun match, a little spice. Because the tag team division has been feeling a little lacking lately. I feel like Redragon's world title reign has been really underwhelming. I feel like they really haven't been around. Like they're champs, and we'll see in this episode where you text me a picture of them.
Yeah, but
I don't know. They largely feel not present. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Red Dragon's the tag champs. That's what was everybody's after.
I mean, it's really just the American Wolves, Red Dragon, and CNC, really. And then Titus and Compton. The Bravado Brothers ones. And obviously the Briscoes are out of the tag team. I just start booking some goddamn tag teams. So. Well, we do. I'm sorry. We do have obviously Tadarius and ACH too. So, but real quick, we get our 855 cash now. I still haven't called them back. Will had alluded to it earlier. You can buy, was it Born and Raised in Sandy Fork, I think? The Briscoes DVD. I do have it. I have not watched it yet. But after that, Will, Nigel on the stick. And after Best in the World, he's reminded why he loves his company. You know, and he puts over that Mark and Jay made everyone proud, you know, but they're both hurt. You know, Jay re-injured his shoulder. And Mark, obviously, after taking three fucking goddamn J drillers, is pretty concussed. So he won't compete in Steel Cage Warfare. You know,
Steve loved this, clapping very loud and cheering from ringside.
Yeah, and he said a couple things, and Nigel just kind of glared back at him, just great. But obviously, Carl is cheering. They're asking a certain somebody, Will. Who do they want to see?
Mr. Wrestling himself. And he comes to the ring. Blue smock pants here, whatever the band is, you know, unsettling differences. Out comes Kevin Steen. He's like, Nigel, you gotta put in. And Nigel's like, I don't know. I mean, Kevin Steen's record against scum, and especially in tag team matches, not great.
No, well, Kevin Steen's record since losing the title in general, but, you know, and like Nigel said, I mean, Kevin Steen started scum. So.
Right, there's still that question of how loyal is he to
Ring of Honor?
Scumston. How is it going to be to Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
How reliable is he?
And then we get our NWO segment. Scum comes out, and then Elgin, Leaf, and Whitmer come out, blah, blah, blah. But then we get a quick ad here. So, and walk, which is not on Honor Club. So, unfortunately, we're only getting the Night of Hoopla. You're not getting any Walk Your Dearborn shows. But they're pushing it pretty heavy here. So, I'm kind of surprised about that. But it's going to be Bobby Fish versus Davey Richards. Obviously, there's a lot of heat there. And then Edwards versus Kyle O'Reilly. But our next match, we get a Women of Honor.
I forgot all about this happening until they had Veda Scott come out. It's like, oh, shit, that's right. They did say this would happen on the episode after Best in the World. They followed through with something they promised.
And I was actually going to mention this when I saw Veda Scott on Saturday, but I didn't get it. Well, I chickened out. It was just awkward. It wasn't the right time. But, yes, it's Mischief versus Veda Scott making her Ring of Honor in-ring debut. And obviously, Will, you know, Steve Corino being Steve Corino, you know, says, you know, talks about getting kicked in the baby maker, whatever. But Veda's a legit lawyer, it looks like. Veda looks this, solid.
My hopes for this match were maybe a little high.
Yeah.
Because I know Veda trained to be a wrestler, but I don't know how long she had been training up to this point. They didn't really feel like they were on the same page.
Yeah.
And Mischief seemed kind of uninterested.
Yeah, I think she seems – that's a good way of putting it. I'm not too high on Mischief. You know, I think – I mean, she is carrying the division right now. She's really the only one.
Like, you know, Veda's throwing forearms and stuff, and she's just, like, not – reacting. It's not even like she's no selling it. It's just like, yep, you're hitting me. Like,
cool. Yeah, all right. You know, Veda looked the right spots, but I did like the dive in the corner where she basically just dove into Mischief and then like slid out of the ring. I thought that was pretty good. She did hit.
It was okay as far as like a first foray into the ring goes, like officially under like the Ring of Honor banner, but they've been hyping this up for however long, and Kevin Kelly said, you know, he wanted to get Veda's thoughts on this at Best in the World, but Artie Evans sat in with him instead.
Yeah,
And I didn't think Veda was going to win. Veda did not win.
But she did kick out of a power bomb where I thought was out of it. She did kick out of her finishing desecrator DDT thingy. But then took a second rope eliminator DDT to pin her. So she took a whooping. So
yeah, she beat the 20 count after getting taking a really shitty looking German suplex on the outside.
Yeah. Then I've got my notes here. Cell phone talks about upcoming shows. I don't know what that means. But Will, the next match though.
Oh, it's because it's the announcer. Their house show ring announcer was plugging the upcoming shows.
You're right. I still got heat with that guy. Good call, Will. You know my notes.
Well, obviously, that's why you called him cell phone, not by his name.
Yeah, I'm still irritated by that guy, but.
You know who else is irritated, Tom?
Silas Young.
Silas Young, not happy in general, but specifically in this moment, not happy about following the women's match. Women, according to Silas, don't belong in the ring. Don't belong in the Ring of Honor ring.
No.
But neither do pretty boys like Adam Page.
Yeah, you know, and Silas is like, yeah, I mean, it probably takes you just as long to get your hair ready as it does my wife. So shout out to close personal friend of Ring of Honor, actually the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup, Val Malone, and her fiance, the Outlaw Zach Hendricks, which is Silas's ex-wife at the time. So, but goddamn, Will. You know, hot start to this match. It didn't stop until Paige dropkick. Silas was trying to do a cross body block. Silas racks his nuts on the barricade. He had a superplex off the barricade. He really loved the balance there. He takes the dragon suplex into a victory roll. Goddamn, Will, these motherfuckers got under 5 minutes, and that match did not feel like under 5 minutes.
We said it in our pre-production, like they got a lot of shit in for being around 5 minutes.
And the crowd was into it. Kevin Kelly gave him a standing ovation. The crowd gave him a standing ovation. I don't know about you, Will, but I gave him a standing ovation. This match ruled. This is really when a company, gives you only 5 minutes, just making the best of it. And these two were fucking pros at it.
And then we saw a very professional code of honor after the match. Silas took his loss in great stride.
Yeah.
Silas Young, not a sore loser at all.
Nope. So.
Fucking headbutting the kid.
Yeah. But I did, not to suck my own dick or anything, but I did talk to Silas on Friday. And we did talk about this match a little bit, and I complimented him. It was awesome. I mean, I don't even think this would be rated on Cage Match because it's under 5 minutes, but this is a solid, as far as TV goes, match that your contender is probably wouldn't win, but I loved it.
No, a lot of fun. You know, and it's nice. We've seen Silas before on TV and stuff, but it's been just kind of like, here is Silas Young. Like, he doesn't. No promos, not real character stuff. Whereas we're getting last real man.
Yeah.
That prick.
Yeah.
He does it so well.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Some people are just a natural asshole, you know what I mean? Some people just pull it off so
well. Yeah. So, if you can find this match, I don't know if it's out there anywhere, go ahead and watch it. Watch it twice. I did.
I mean, it is out there. It's on Honor Club. If people are watching along, they would have watched it.
Yeah. Hopefully they do. Well, listen,
episode 80.
Well, it's episode 94 TV.
Oh, my bad. Episode 94, July 6th, 2013.
Yeah, and if High Fivers, if you do watch Smash, hit us up. Let us know what you think. I loved it. I can't say it enough. So, you know, and the first time Dynamite ran in Milwaukee, they had Adam Page versus Silas. And now we know why. I mean, these guys have great chemistry.
Running it back.
They just fit. Obviously, they had that great match in the top prospect tournament, too. So, and not say, but I did say that Silas Young was the Mike Mondo Breakout Star of 2013. So, we shall see. But, Will, any more thoughts on that before we dive into our pretty super solid main event?
No, I said this has been, like I said, I think my expectations for the Veda Mischief match were maybe set a little too high. Because otherwise, I mean, you know, we had that opener, and it was a cool, you know, seeing it now, great surprise of seeing Alex and Johnny. You know, I'm hyped. And then we get, you know, I'm not as interested in like the scum bit, but Carino, you know, really sells it where it's like, oh, you know, these top two guys are really hurt. And Carino's just like, woo! Who are they going to replace him with? Nobody!
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, Nigel's glances back were, you know, worth it in gold, so.
You know, then we had the women's match, and we had this, and it came right out of the commercial. Silas is already in the ring with a microphone being like, this is bullshit. Fun match. Fun post-match. We don't get a lot of just, like, post-match beatdowns like that, right? Because it's like, oh, it's Code of Honor and whatever, but not this time.
So, but our main event, Will.
As Mark Henry would say, time for our main event.
Is Eddie Edwards versus Matt Taven. Eddie Edwards had won a proving ground match, you know, to get this title shot. You know, I
did
discuss this little, do you know why it's called a world TV title? We defend this title around the world. I don't know.
Maybe you know, details.
I don't know. But I have to crack up, you know, Steve Carino picking on Eddie Edwards, his parents from named Eddie, even his last name is Edwards. Suddenly, he's, you know, he's just like, God damn it, I think maybe I'll name my next kid Corey Carino. I'm like, that's a little on the cusp of me when you realize his kid's name is Colby Carino. So, you know, great action. You know, there's a pretty nasty outside the ring tree wall drop kick. And, you know, Steve Carino goes crazy.
Oh, that Tree of Woe dropkick was bananas.
Yeah, basically, Taven was leaning outside the ring. The Tree of Woe caught up on the turnbuckles and Edwards. Yeah, pretty much nailed him. And this is kind of a role reversal because usually Edwards is the one taking the beating. But Taven looked really good. I mean, Taven got his ass ripped.
Well, that was kind of the story they told in that Proving Ground match, too, was Taven wasn't faring great. So they've said, you know, maybe you take the L just so you stop getting your ass beat.
Yeah.
But Taven got plenty of good offense in on his own. I mean, he did hit the Angel's Wings.
Yep.
Only a two.
And speaking of Angel's Wings, this is kind of a stretch, but it appears that Christopher Daniels was the first member of Ring of Honor not to adhere to the Code of Honor. If you haven't seen Christopher Daniels and heel, like the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels or anything heel, he's fucking funny. That guy's so underestimated. But Will, real quick, I have a question for you. Do you have any idea why they call it skinning the cat? I have no idea. I mean, they go to the top rope, they hang on to the top rope, and they come back in. I don't know how that has got to do with being a cat. Do you have any idea?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
It's probably just something, like somebody was probably called it that, right, at one point. They saw it and said, oh, he skinned the cat.
And it just stuck.
And just so you know, it's kind of like the skin of the teeth kind of thing where it's like you're almost out, you got 9 lives, you pull yourself back in.
In the end, Edwards has a one-legged crab on Taven, obviously, and then Truth Distraction. Edwards goes for Truth. Scarlet throws a belt in. Taven misses Edwards with his, the belt. However, that was really fucking smooth, by the way. Basically, he swung at him. Edwards ducks, leg sweeps him, and rolls him into another one-legged crab. It was a great fucking move. And then Silesia stands up, and then Taven kicks Edwards to the ropes, which Silesia's kind of standing there. But that's just enough for Taven to get the distraction, and nails it sweet DDT, came for the win.
And he planted Edwards, too. Like, when they showed that replay,
yeah,
Edwards took all that. He landed square on his dome, like, straight up.
And, yeah, and he sold it great, too. I mean, he stood up there for a second. Like Will said, he planted him, and, like, Edwards is, like, perpendicular to the mat for a good, like, second and a half. There was a little bit of chicanery, but ultimately Matt Taven pretty much wins this clean, you know, for a heel. We were kind of down on Taven for a couple weeks, but these last couple matches, he's looking better again.
He's starting to come into it. So, I mean, it's, you know, we're getting more. I like that they're kind of rolling back the chicanery a bit, and they're letting him wrestle more.
Yeah, it was, and obviously, you know, we've talked in previous episodes. These two are, you know, dance partners. They're familiar with each other. They have great chemistry. All in all, Will, this is probably might be the best TV episode of the year so far.
Bar hasn't been that high, but yeah, this was a really fun episode. A lot of fresh stuff. I mean, they're back in Baltimore, so, you know, the crowd's going to be great. You know, they seem to pull out the extra stops for the Baltimore tables.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's that new layout for the boys and everything. Mischief and Theta it was okay. It was the worst match in a great card. I'm a little nervous because Kevin Kelly's just talking about how this is going to be the best month in, you know, of Ring of Honor TV. And last time we said that was Fight in February. So we do have some more championship matches coming up. Next week, I think it's Three Dragon, right? Versus CMC? I think. So.
I'm sorry. I can't answer you because I dropped out and I came back in, so I don't know what we were pontificating.
I was just talking about how, Kevin Kelly says it's going to be the best month of Ring of Honor TV ever. And like I said, he said that for Friday, February. We started out hot and definitely took a shit. So, not that same thing.
I think the difference is the gimmick, right, of Fighting February is that we were supposed to get pay-per-view quality main event matches the entire month of February.
And we did.
And we did not. First episode was great. Set the bar high. So we'll see. I mean, I'm ready for next week's episode of TV. I almost watched it right after I watched this one.
Yeah, so I think it's Redragon versus CNC next week. You said there's three title matches this month, so. Jay's got to defend his title, so.
We've got Briscoe, Matt Hardy's going to be coming up. We've got tag title match.
Oh, that's right. It's Briscoe and Matt Hardy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Not excited, so. We shall see. Great episode of TV. I know it was kind of short this week, but we both enjoyed it. Like I said, I mean, Will texted me on Monday. He's like, holy shit, this ruled. I'm like, yeah. No kidding. So, yeah, I watched it just Thursday morning. So, yeah.
I was pleased with it. Like we said, like, best episode of the year, the bar really hasn't been that high. There hasn't been
that episode.
Like, right, there's the storylines are just kind of, they're all so kind of stale at this point, right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to have like that freshness where it's like we didn't have like the kind of like the bigger through line storylines other than like the Nigel bit with when Scum came out and then Team Ring of Honor came out. You know, but we got like the interpersonal stuff. We got Silas Young calling out this young talent. We got Matt Taven kind of, for the most part, standing on his own 2 feet.
Yeah. And Eddie Edwards looked really good in that match.
Edwards, oh, he's good. Just, he's got the personality of a cardboard bag, you know?
I do. Yeah, like I said, that's finishing that leg sweep into the thing was amazing. So. Yeah, so, I don't know, Will, do you got anything else before we pull the string to the station here?
Nope, just as always, thank you to the Shining Wizards and the Wizards Network for hosting the show. Thank you to VGM for being the day one host of the show. Very cool roster of shows on both networks, so I would encourage people to dabble and peruse through both rosters.
Yeah.
And thank you to Rob, Untanking the Territory, Gator Golf Extraordinaire, for his questions. Thank you, Freeds, for your questions. And as always, thank you to Brendan for being the there's nothing official about him being the third man, but he's pretty much the third man, right? You know, we're me and you are the Scott Hall and the Kevin Nash. Brendan's the Hulk Hogan.
In more ways than one.
People say Brendan should have his own show. I mean, deep down, this might be Brendan's show.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, definitely kind of took a different.
I mean, he himself has fessed up that he only listens to hear the answer to his question. He's pulling the strings. Like, he just needs to hear what he needs to hear. Moving on.
Yeah. So, yeah, show it to Brendan. So, but yeah, he's all over the fucking place. So,
yep. Hear him on Nattering with E. Check him out. You know, become a patron for the Wizards podcast. He's been doing the extra episodes for the $3 and up patrons. Yeah. So he's been kind of like mediating like Q&As, taking part in some other stuff, and Brendan's like he's just a fountain of knowledge.
Yeah.
He knows so much and he's so funny.
Yeah, and this episode,
he's great.
Yeah, so I'm actually having Brendan on tomorrow with Brett. We're gonna do a mental health talk. So that's actually gonna drop before this episode. But that episode has not been recorded, but high fivers. Please do make sure you check out that episode. You know, might not be as fun and jovial as the Ring of Honor Revelry is or any other shows, but it might be something that people need to hear. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that and dreading for that tomorrow altogether. But yeah, Brendan's the man. So looking forward to that. So,
and thank you everyone for checking out the show. If this is your first time, thank you for checking us out. You know, if you want to leave comments on the episode after you listen, that'd be really cool. If you want to share it, it'd be even better. If you want to follow us on Twitter at ROH Revelry, Tom made a Facebook page or a Facebook account rather. I started looking at setting up an Instagram for the show. The handle is available. It's just I might have to just set it up on a computer so it doesn't force me to connect it to my personal accounts.
Yeah.
Even though, who knows? I mean, I like my personal Insta a little more. My personal Twitter might go away just because, you know, it doesn't get a whole lot of traction. And my personal account and the Twitter account don't follow. There's not a whole lot of differences, so.
Very true. So, well, Will, thank you for putting up with me for these 80 past episodes and. You know, hopefully we've got 80 more plus more to go. So,
we got a lot to go.
Before it gets really thin. So,
Punishment Martinez won the Money in the Bank contract. So,
it's true. Yeah, former Ring of Honor star, former Ring of Honor TV title holder, formerly known as Punishment Martinez, Damian Priest. So, kudos to him. Great match, and I actually watched both Money in the Bank matches.
Punishment Martinez is such a better name than Damian Priest.
Yeah, but you can market Damian Priest better than you can force that.
WWE probably would have called him like Punishment. The old terrorizing gimmick.
All right. Well, I'm going to pull us in, but thank you, everybody. We'll talk to everybody next week.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.